to have a complete understanding of our school is at the same time to have perfect understanding of the non-sectarianism. I don't know Christianity so much, but last night I briefly talked about how various sects appeared in our history of Buddhism. As I told you last night, at first, when in China, when various scriptures were introduced to China, or translated into Chinese, when some group of scriptures, like Prajnaparamita group, or Kengon Sutra, each time some important sutra introduced into China. When that sutra was translated into Chinese, they did it under the help of the king. All the learned scholars, not only Buddhist scholars, but also Confucian scholars, all the learned scholars in China, participate the translation of some special scriptures. And from China, from India, of course, some teachers and someone who knows Chinese and Indian Sanskrit translated it into Chinese, and they and many people were listening to it, and when they agreed with the translation, they write down. In this way, in a big scale, translation was made. So each time the translation made, the people who participated the translation, or people who were listening to it, naturally appreciate the deep meaning of the teaching, and there they formed some kind of sect. In this way, there were in China there was many sects appeared. That is one way of it is almost by accident various schools appeared in China. But this is not actually the one school of Buddhism in its strict sense. In its strict sense, when some great teacher studied Buddhism through and through, by all means, not only some better scripture, but also many scriptures, and organized the Buddhist thought and finding out the key point of the Buddhist thought, they organized or systematized whole Buddhism. That is so called it, Kyoso Hanjaku, you know. having some standpoint, taking some standpoint and organize or systematize all the teaching. If someone comes to this point, there is no need to study all the scriptures, you know, as he did. So most of people can understand all the scriptures according to his way of understanding it. And actually, those teachers were very great teachers, and their characters were so great and fine that people naturally believed in his teaching. And this is, you know, their this is, in this way, through schools of Buddhism appear as Kengon or Tendai. Not by accident, but by study. And what I was talking about last night is, although their understanding of religion is based on his philosophical study of Buddhism, but they also practice Zen, you know, a kind of Zen. And I talked about the difference between Bodhidharma Zen and their Zazen. Their Zazen is to contemplate on some profound teaching and to improve their state of mind is their way, you know, by dwelling on the lofty teaching of Buddhism. And they they try to have full understanding of it, and they try to improve their state of mind. State of mind, we say, but this is, you know, it has more deeper meaning, but we say, Shinkyo. Shinkyo. Chi means also Zazen, Zen, or Zazen practice. To have, to have higher state of mind, or to be able to higher cross of Zazen, you know, by studying various kinds of teaching, and then meditate on some kind of teaching. The difference between our practice and their practice is we, you know, do not, you know, our practice is not rely on, is not the practice to having some lofty teaching in our mind, and to dwell on this kind of understanding, and to improve our state of mind, is not, you know, our way. And while we do not take this way, is already I explained. In this way, there, which does not rely on any teaching, whose practice is not something completely different from the meditation on some teaching, started by Bodhidharma. But later, you know, in Song Dynasty, Zen students applied something like Kambo or contemplation on some teaching, like koan appeared. This is, you know, something more like Kambo or Tendai or Kegon practice. And some of them go back to the Mahayana usual practice. And I compared our practice, which is independent from teaching, and practice which depends on some example, or some teaching, or some lofty teaching. I compared, and if we become interested in Kambo, or to practice Zazen, aiming at some higher stage of practice. More and more, our practice will become special practice for some selected people, or some great teachers, and then we will not be everyone's practice. While in Heian period in Japan, various new schools of Zen appeared. At the previous time, the religion, Buddhism, became more and more aristocratic, and the people, Buddhists, become more and more interested in some fancy, you know, practice of Buddhism. And naturally, their practice became more and more aristocratic, a luxurious way. And thus, the interest of majority of people. That is why new schools of Buddhism appeared in Kamakura period. And even for us, there is this kind of danger. If Zen is a practice for just men, or for just dhanaskara, or for just great men of great ability, spiritual ability, then we not help people. Actually, in Japan, Soto Zen, who put emphasis on our everyday life, not only Zazen practice, but also everyday life. Thinking everyday life is a kind of Zen practice. And having great concern to our everyday life. Aiming at spreading Buddhism all at once under some influencer, under the influence of some daimyo or government. Just constantly trying to make them understand, not by some impure motivation, but also, but only just to help others, whether they can practice Zazen or not. Try and help people by all means, the sort of spread, little by little, until sort of become one of the largest schools in Japan. But in our history, you know, we never depend on any influential people. Although we helped, you know, for instance, Emperor Go-Daimyo, you know, when he was in small island after defeated by Kamakura government. He didn't know what to do. So, so please get to the and send them something, you know, to the island. In such case, we helped, you know, but we never helped, you know, ask help, or we have no Zen master of our school did not like to practice our way under the influence of some pattern. You know, friends, Dongen Zenji was asked to help Kamakura government. He refused, but the Kamakura government asked him so intensely, so he went to Kamakura for 1 month, and he came back. And he said to him, if you want to help, you know, people, why don't you be a priest? That is the best way. Why don't you give up your position as a, you know, the head of the Kamakura government? So they gave up. This is the best way, I think. Why don't you be a, and become a priest, he said. Dongen said, and he came back. And there are many and many stories like this at Muromachi period. I think he was Jochu Tenge. He was so famous that Ashikaga government wanted to invite him to Kyoto. So he, you know, if he stay at his temple, they will force him to come to Kyoto. So he went for, he took a trip for some day, and he went to the remotest country, and he was practicing Zazen. But soon, the Kamakura Ashikaga government found out where he was. But they thought, government thought, that was Yoshimitsu thought, he will not come to Kyoto. So he sent an artist, and he, Yoshimitsu asked the artist to paint his, you know, picture, and to bring it back to Kyoto. And the painter, but painter could not meet him, you know, if he knows, if Yoshimitsu Tengen knows he is making picture of him for the government, he will refuse it. So he was hiding himself under the bridge. When he was, you know, going to Zendo, he drew his image and went back to Kyoto. And that is one of the national treasures. In this way, you know, as you know, Soto Zen is peasant Zen, farmer Zen, people say, because we didn't have any support from daimyo or government, farmers. But there is some reason why we should be a farmer. For us, there is no influential people or farmer. They are all Buddhists for us. As Dogen Zen said, you may say, merchant is not Zen monk. But for Zen monks, there is no merchant or no Zen monks. They are all Zen students. This is our understanding of practice. So whatever we do, whether they realize or not, actually, we are all practicing Zazen. And why it is so is the things I explain in my lecture. As you know, in Gakudo Yojinshu, in 10 instructions to for the students how to study Zen, he says, our Zen is not Kampo, like, you know, in one practice. Practice which includes 3,000 of Dhamma. That kind of practice is not practice. Or he says, the teaching of transiency is, some people may say, is the foundation of the Buddha's teaching. But that is not, you know, something which you will know after you study Buddhism, even though you don't study it. That is actual truth. You know. That everything changes is actual truth. And it is not Buddhism. This is independent, absolute truth. For Buddhists, for Buddhists and as well as for everyone. So, this is not, you know, just, this is not, those teachings are not just our teaching, but the teaching for everyone. Even though Buddha didn't tell it, talk about it, that is truth. That is the truth which we, you know, are observing every day. So there's no need to depend on teaching. But the most important thing is to practice and realize our true nature is the most important point. This is, you know, then, if so, everyone has, you know, as long as we have Buddha mind, Buddhism is for everyone. In this way, Zen school, you know, established without depending on any teaching, any particular teaching. So Zen students use various scriptures, you know. We do not say this is the most important scripture, or oh, this is not so important, we do not say that. Whatever the teaching may be, that teaching will help at least someone. Not all, or it may not be for all of them, but it will help someone. So, it is like a medicine, you know, medicine or prescription. So for some patient, some particular prescription is necessary. But we cannot say this is better prescription or this is not so good. If it is appropriate, if you use it in appropriate way, that is the best prescription. We understand in this way. So far, it's what I talked about last night. Tonight, no, I want to explain Skandasa. We say just a sick. What does it mean by just a sick? Some monk asked a Zen master, it is very hot. how is it possible to sit in some fire where no hot or no cold weather come? The master's answer was, when it is hot, you should be a hot Buddha. When it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. That is just the thing. When it is hot, you should be hot Buddha. When it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. But, this is very direct, understanding of the story. But actually, it says, when it is hot, you should kill hot. when it is cold, you should kill cold by practice. It says so. But according to Dogen Zenji, you know, when it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. And when it is hot, you should be a hot Buddha. But if you say kill, you know, kill is extra. If you say kill, you know, or to attain enlightenment, you know, attain is extra. You know, when your practice is not good, you are poor Buddha. When if your practice is good, you are good Buddha. And poor and good is also independent Buddha. No. Poor is Buddha, and you are Buddha, and good is Buddha, and you are Buddha too. So every word or whatever you think, whatever you say, every word become Buddha. Then there's no trouble. I am Buddha. If I say I am Buddha, I is Buddha, am is Buddha, be is Buddha, and Buddha is of course Buddha. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Whatever you say, Buddha, 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 Buddha. There's no need to translate it into English. There's no need to bother by fancy, explanation of Buddhism. If you say Buddha, 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 that is all right. That is Shikan Tata. Everything is Buddha. So, sitting is Buddha. Lying down is Buddha. And whatever you say, you know, each word is Buddha. He understands in this way. So, he says, when it is cold, you should be a cold Buddha. When it is hot, you should be a hot Buddha. If you understand, actually, when you practice Zazen, you know, with this understanding, that is true Zazen. Even though we say just sit, but to understand what does it mean is rather difficult, maybe. And so that is why Dogen Zenji left so many teachings to explain what is just to sit. But it does not mean his teaching is so difficult. When you sit, without thinking or without expecting anything, and when you accept yourself as a Buddha or as a tools of Buddha or ornaments of Buddha, or if you understand everything is unfolding of absolute teaching or truth or the first principle. Or if you understand, everything is a part of the great being, one called being. When you reach this understanding, whatever we say, whatever we think, but whatever we see, that is the actual teaching of Buddha. And whatever we do, that is actual practice of the Buddha himself. The problem is because you sit or because you do something, trying to do something, that is trouble. If you do not understand what it is, you think nothing results or nothing exists. Or if you fear you can rely on something, no teaching. Teaching means nothing. But before you try to rely on it, teaching exists, you know. Before you attain enlightenment, enlightenment is there. That is true. It is not after you attain enlightenment, you know. It is not because you attained enlightenment. Enlightenment appears. Because enlightenment is always there, so if you realize it, that is enlightenment. If you think enlightenment is something, in some particular thing, which you can reach for, or which you can attain it, so, sometime you will be discouraged. Because you are seeking for it. And you think that is something which can be attained. But if it is not possible, you know, if you do not fear, it was possible to attain it, you will be discouraged. And you will give up the practice. And you will try to find out some other teaching, which is, you know, worthwhile to strive for. And in this way, you change your way from one to the other. And you have no time, you know, to realize our true nature, which is universal to everyone. So, whether you can realize it or attain enlightenment or not, it's minor problem, not so big problem. If you realize it, or if you attain enlightenment, that's all the better. But even though you don't, you know, there's no need to seek for some special teaching, because the teaching is always here. Uh, This is something, you know, this kind of understanding will be difficult for you to accept, you know. I think after practicing, you know, one or two months, if you don't think you make, you have made some progress, you will change, you will give up and seeking for something good. But religion is not true religion cannot be obtained in that way. This kind of way is the way to attain something in a more materialistic sense. But true spiritual way cannot be like this. The way to work on spiritual things is quite different from the way to work on something which is more materialistic. Even though you talk about spiritual things, that is not actually spiritual. That is a kind of substitute for the spiritual thing. That you are here means, you know, that you were banished. Something, you know, which exists things which exist are bound to be banished. So, something which you attained cannot be perpetual attainment. Something which you cannot, you know, figure out what it is will exist forever. Something which exists before everything appears, will exist forever. So as long as you seek for something, you know, you will get just a shadow of the reality, not actual one. But when you do not seek for anything, only when you do not seek for anything, you have it. So when you do not try to attain enlightenment, you have it. You know, when you, because you try to attain something, you lose it. And renunciation is, you know, could be attained when A is just A and B is just B. Because A tried to be a C or a D, there's you know, problem. A should, because A is just A, and A is bound to be disappear. That is renunciation. If you, you know, always stay in that way, that is not renunciation, that is attachment, which does not exist, that is delusion. So, A should be just A, B should be just B, and A should vanish, you know, in the form of A, and appear again in some form of C or D. And C or D should vanish in that form. C or D should not try to be, you know, at the same time something different. So when you just sit, and when you appreciate your being fully in your sitting, that is, you know, to lose your mind and body before you lose it. When you have no mind and body, you have no problem. Because you say, this is mine, and this is, you know, body. Body should not be the burden of the spirit or something like that. We should, you know, mind should work hard to control our body, something like this. In this case, mind is not mind. Mind is delusion, and body is also delusion. And delusion and delusion is fighting. But it's practice, you know. When we were young, when we have discussion, we used to discuss about what is Bodhisattva's way to save others before we save ourselves. What does it mean? Is it possible to save others before we save ourselves? That kind of thing. And what is the goal of practice, or what is idea, and what is reality in its ordinary sense. And reality cannot be, you know, the idea. The practice will be the bridge to the reality, to ideas. This kind of, you know, discussion we had. But according to Dogen Zenji, practice is practice. Practice Buddha. Reality is reality Buddha. Idea is idea Buddha. There's no problem. When you practice, there's no Buddha or no human being. That is just that which exists is just practice. When you say, I am human being, it means human being Buddha, the another name of Buddha. We understand in that way. So there's no need to have bridge to the, you know, to the other shore. Other shore is other shore Buddha. This shore is this shore Buddha. Just name is different, but actually everything is Buddha himself. Bridge is ornament of Buddha. And this jewel is also ornament of Buddha. The other jewel is also ornament of Buddha. And each being is necessary. How they attain renunciation is just to be this jewel, you know. This jewel, the other jewel, and the other jewel. And they are bound to be banished, you know. As long as they actually exist, it should banish. It cannot be in that way, always. So, when one, because one is just one, it is possible to banish, you know. If it is possible for one to be something else, you know, it may be a perpetual being. But that is perpetual being in its wrong understanding. It is a kind of delusion, because no such thing actually exists. So to be just, you know, only when we satisfy ourselves as a, you know, as me, there is, you know, chance to have renunciation, or the chance to banish. It is necessary to banish. If you don't, you are ghost. You are delusion. Something that which exists should banish, you know. Is there something which doesn't banish forever? So we say just to sit, but this word, just A should be A, directly point out the liberation from A. Just because you try to be something else, you know, you lose your reality. Do you understand? So we should be just, I should be just me. Then, at the same time, I have liberation. I have enlightenment. I am not ghost. I exist here, you know. I am Buddha himself. I am not ghost. This is, you know, just the sit. And this is not some, you know, fancy teaching at all. This is direct teaching. There can be no more, there can be any other teaching so direct, you know. Just the sit is the most direct teaching. You cannot say no or yes even before you. You cannot say anything about it. Just the sit. So we say just the sit. There's no more teaching. This is not something, because something you understand because I say so. You know. This is not teaching you believe in because Buddha says so. This is actual, ultimate truth. And only way to attain renunciation without any problem, without causing any problem for anyone. Just to be myself, no problem whatsoever. This is what we mean by just to sit. So those masters who understand sort of way, you know, may use instead of just to sit, they may say, you know, they may give you ko a mu. What is mu? Just to sit is mu. There's no difference.